You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome, everyone, to Breaking Big Blue. I'm your host, Jordan Ron, on ESPN. ESPN.com, Giants reporter. And we're here with the owners meeting episode. I'm back from Orlando. Earlier this week, we heard from owner John Mara for the first time this year. We heard from Joe Shane for the first time since the NFL Combine. And we heard from Brian Daboll, the Giants head coach, for the first time since the end of the season. Lots happened since then. Just go look at his staff. Pretty much a complete turnover. 10 new coaches are on Brian Daboll's staff. What did he say about that? Or did he say anything on that is really the more apt question here. We'll get to that in a minute. I'm going to tell you in a few seconds why I came away from the owners' meetings more confident than before that the Giants are going to end up with a quarterback some way, somehow. Not sure exactly how at this point, but some way, somehow, because of some of the things I heard. We're also going to talk to Matt Miller, ESPN. NFL draft analyst. He's going to break down his latest mock draft and why he doesn't have the Giants taking a quarterback in the first round, but does have the Giants landing a quarterback. So we'll get to that in a few minutes. First, let's go over what we heard, okay? What we heard at the owners' meeting. So I'm going to start with John Mara because to me, these were the most noteworthy comments that came out. Now, the one thing that actually stood out more to me than John Mara saying he won't stop his front office, his coach, really his coach and general manager, Joe Shane and Brian Daboll, if they so desire from drafting a quarterback. What stood out to me even more than that was when John Mara says that his front office has told him this is the most talented group to come out in years. He's obviously talking about quarterbacks. So the most talented quarterback group to come out in years. The Giants have a quarterback who has serious injury concerns. They have the 6th overall pick. With that being said, I would be surprised at this point if the Giants did not come away with a quarterback in some way, shape, or form. Now, I don't know if one of the top guys is necessarily going to be realistic. It might not because, I mean, the J.J. McCarthy buzz has done nothing but increase. I mean, I just spoke to someone again, an executive around the league, and I know Tom Pelissero from, you know, NFL Network said this earlier in the week. You know, the people he talked to, a lot of people seem to think, based on marrying the traits and the player with the evaluator being Adam Peters, the general manager of Washington, that they thought, and the person I just spoke to, the executive I just spoke to, literally right before coming on this podcast, said he thinks J.J. McCarthy is going to be the second pick in the draft for the Washington Commanders. Well, now that would throw quite the twist, right? And he also mentioned, if there's a guy that might fall a little bit, not much, it would be Drake May, North Carolina quarterback. Partly because of some mechanical stuff, you know, where he holds the ball, where he throws it from, could affect ball security. So that kind of opened my eyes a bit. And Mel Kiper just dropped his updated top 25 big board. He has Drake May at 7, J.J. McCarthy at 14. So we don't know. But it is interesting because if Drake May does fall, I could see that being a guy that the Giants really like and go for. No, I don't think he's ultimately their top option. Actually, I shouldn't say that. I don't know that. But I do think there's enough traits there, and the Giants will say, you know what? This guy can be a stud in the league. Give him time. Let him sit. And so let him sit. Let him, you know, sit behind Daniel Jones this year. Let him take some time. Look at some of the quarterbacks that have had success recently taking that route, the Jordan Loves, the Patrick Mahomes, go back to Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers. There's some big time quarterbacks who have sat in their first year. And so the question was posed to John Mara, would taking a quarterback mean you're done with Daniel Jones? And he said, no, I don't look at it that way. Why not just let them compete? Let the best quarterback win. And if you have two quarterbacks, that's a good problem, right? Let's say Daniel Jones plays really well. Then you have Daniel Jones and this prospect behind him that you think is going to be a stud. You know, it's what happened with Alex Smith in Kansas City. It's what happened with Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love in Green Bay. They survived. It didn't ruin the young quarterback. They eventually were able to trade the veteran quarterback. So, yeah, I walk away from hearing all this thinking, you know what? It's a real possibility the Giants draft a quarterback, whether it be at 4, right? They might have to trade up to 4, whether it be trading up to 3, whether it be staying at 6. Imagine they stay at 6 and Drake May sitting there. I think my personal opinion is I think they pull the trigger there. Now, we do know Minnesota, I can say this pretty confidently, and obviously it's pretty obvious with their draft capital. They're looking for a quarterback. They're going to be looking to move up. So that's the team to watch. The 3 and 4 spots, those are the teams to watch. The Giants have casually, you know, looked into what it would cost, what's available at the top, what's available moving back. It's really Joe Shane doing his due diligence, which you need to do in this spot. Okay, if we find a guy that we're locked in on at quarterback and he's available at 3 or 4, what are we willing to give up to him? Now, the New England Patriots, from talking to everyone around the league, it does not appear that they're going to be willing to make a deal unless it's like a godfather deal. So you're going to really have to pay to get to the number 3 pick if you want that pick. And I don't know the Giants are in a situation to pay for that, right? They have 6 picks in this draft, a ton of holes. Can they really afford to give up multiple picks, future really high picks? I'm not sure if the organization is in the place to be able to do that right now. So 3, the third slot, I'm not so sure about. Maybe 4. I think if J.J. McCarthy or Drake May were there, Jaden Daniels, forget it. They would run. I think they would do that in a second. But does anybody make it to 6 is the question. And let's say they get shut out. So then they take Malik Nabers, Rome Odunze, one of those two guys, wide receivers, Washington and LSU. Then do they try and get a quarterback at the back end of the first round or somewhere in the second round? I think they would. Now, who knows how many quarterbacks are even available later in the first round or early second round, because there's some QB needing teams out there. The Raiders, throw them in there. The Broncos, the Vikings, the Giants, the Patriots, the Commanders. The Bears, obviously, are taking a quarterback. So are they able to land one of the, I'd say, 6 premium prospects? We'll have to wait and see. But it's a real possibility. They're traveling around the country. They're looking at these guys. They're working them all out. Pretty much all the top quarterbacks are going to be, have visited the Giants, worked out for them privately. So they've seen them throw. They met them all at the combine. So they're going through the whole process. And people who think this is a smokescreen, you're not wasting this much time and this many resources for a smokescreen. Joe Shane is not flying, and Brian Daboll are not flying from the owners' meetings in Orlando to LSU to see Jaden Daniels the next day to Washington all the way across the country the next day as a smokescreen. They're just not. Sorry, that's not the deal. Now, Joe Shane did say one thing I thought was kind of interesting. We're not really going to talk about the whole Brian Daboll and interactions with Wink and his coaches. Like, we'll save that for another episode, another day. Actually, I'll have a story dropping on that and what Brian Daboll needs to do to fix stuff going forward. After that, we could kind of get into it. But in the meantime, we'll skip on that topic for now. The one thing that Joe Shane did say that I found very notable was he was, again, adamant about keeping Evan Neal, at least for now, at right tackle. So he's going to start, it appears, at right tackle, which means Jermaine Illuminor is probably going to start at guard. Now, it might not last long. They might get there in the spring and just decide, you know what? This isn't going to work. We have to make this move. Or training camp. But for now, at least, it is notable that Evan Neal is going to remain at right tackle. Now, I don't think it's a great idea. I have doubts of whether he could be able to turn it around and that's going to work out. But I could understand where the Giants are coming from the point of, we drafted him high, let's try it out. Let's give it another look with a new coach. And then we could always get off it and we have an easy out because Illuminor obviously has played right tackle. But they're going to give it one more shot. That's what it looks like here. Also, Darren Waller, no update on that. What Joe Shane did say about that topic when I asked about, like, you know, how do you how are you basically going about looking at that? Like, are you planning as if he's just not going to play? And he did mention he signed a couple tight ends. So they're at least trying to get contingencies there in place in case they don't have Darren Waller, which is possible. So I guess that's where we stand at the tight end position for now. The other thing that I got from Joe Shane and even John Mara was, all right, they made a decision. John Mara called it reallocation of resources with not re-signing Saquon Barkley, Xavier McKinney. Instead, getting offensive line and Brian Burns. Get that totally. The one thing I did not get was I said, well, why did you regret not trading him? And they both said no, Joe Shane and John Mara. But their reasoning to me didn't pass the smell test. Like, we wanted to make sure Daniel, when he came back from the neck injury, had somebody there. We wanted to make sure that we, you know, didn't send a message to the team that we were giving up on the season. We wanted to do right by Saquon. Do right by Saquon. You want to do right by Saquon, you just give him what he wanted in negotiations the year before, if you really wanted to do right by Saquon. Otherwise, it is a business. Get value while you can. You know, who knows? The Giants, let's say they could have got a second or third round pick for Saquon. Maybe second's a little high at the trade deadline. Should have taken it. Now what do you get? You're sitting there calculating the formula for next year. Maybe you get something. Maybe you don't. I don't know. That's another year down the line, too. Seems like that was a mistake to me. If you were going to make the decision and reach this point that you were going to move on from him, you should have traded him and got value when you could. With that being said, let's get back to some draft talk. On to the next one.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
All right, let's bring on Matt Miller, one of our NFL draft analysts. Matt, first of all, I have to commend you because it seems like a completely psychopathic exercise, but you did a 7-round mock draft recently. Are you... Do they like let you out of the cave afterwards? Is that the way it works? I mean, that seems like a crazy undertaking right there.
No, what's wild is, and I know you know this, Jordan, on the editorial side of what we do, so much of it is done in advance because a lot of people have to see it and they have to build graphics and you know, get the TV folks alerted. And so I actually finished that mock draft a week ago in between the Ohio State Michigan Pro Days. And what's fun about a 7-round mock draft is you get to lay out a ton of scenarios. You get to, you know, really stretch your legs about player knowledge. As soon as you hand the thing into your editor, you want to change it all. That's the hardest part is the things, you know, I was telling someone yesterday, I had a guy in the fourth round. I was like, no, like he's a third round pick or maybe even a late second round pick. But it is fun though, because it does show you like, if the board falls this way, here's what could happen. A 7-round mock draft a month out is predictive to some degree, but it's also a lot about the scenario, which is the part that makes it fun. But as a perfectionist, it is, you know, a little bit hard when you see a guy, you know, like Cole Bishop falls around farther than I want him to, or Tip Ryman goes around later than I want them to. But that's probably been a little too nitpicky.
Yeah, well, it's called taking pride in your work, which is why we appreciate, you know, everything that you say and your information and your time. First, let's start with this. So last week you were there. I mean, because this is a big part of this draft, especially at the top. JJ McCarthy and the quarterbacks. You were there last week. What did you come away thinking?
It was a good pro day. I know I've seen, you know, Jim Harbaugh said it's the best quarterback pro day ever. I don't know about that, but it's
his guy.
It was good.
That's his guy,
man. Yeah, it's like, you know, my son is 10 and will not be a first round draft pick at quarterback. But were he, I would be saying the same things, you know, like, yeah, man, look at him go. It's best pro day ever. So it's you got to put some context in it. But it was a good workout. It really was. I think one thing, and this might be my fault because I was the reporter who was there, is he came in at 220 pounds. And I don't think that got enough mention of he was up from 209 to 220. And it was noticeable. You know, he's had been knocked a little bit for, he's like, you know, a little bit skinny, 6'3", 220, will play all day. And CJ Stroud was 6'3", 214. And so then talking to JJ after the throwing session, he threw about 60 passes over about 25 minutes. And I asked him, like, what did you want to show today? And he said, I wanted to show touch and timing because everyone knows I have a good arm, but the knocks that I got were touch and timing. And it was, he also referenced something that, you know, a lot of us analysts had said coming out of the combine was the guy kind of struggled throwing to his left at the combine. Mm-hmm. He came out and threw predominantly to his left at pro day. And it was almost like, I want to show you that I can do this. It seems like he's going through a little bit of a mechanics change, which I commend. I think this is the time to do it. I remember covering Josh Allen and watching him play in person during the season, watching him at the Senior Bowl, watching him at the combine and seeing him get better throughout that process because he did change up some lower body mechanics, some timing, and it really worked for him. And I think JJ, without needing the extreme correction that Josh did, he's done a good job of making some changes that are definitely showing up when he throws the ball.
When you watch his tape, do you see that deficiency of throwing to the left? Is that something that you noticed there, or was that just a combine thing?
A little bit on tape. It was actually after the combine. I went back and looked at his, you know, like the quarterback, like spread sheet of like where they're throwing to.
Yeah, like the hot dot chart things.
Yeah, yeah, hot.
Heat, exactly. Heat graph, I think they call it.
That's what it's called. Yeah, that's a better name than whatever I said. and you do see it a little bit. But it's also, you know, his tape is really interesting because he wasn't asked to throw it very much. And Michigan was this dominant team, you know, 18 players at the combine. But, you know, their wide receiver group, Roman Wilson's a good player, but, you know, he's like an underneath slot guy. They didn't have, you know, this isn't 2020 LSU. You know, they're not trotting out like four guys who are going to play in the NFL. So some of that is, okay.
Jamar Chase and Justin Jefferson.
Right. Yeah. I mean, so it's, I think some of the Michigan stuff was, hey, they were just trying to win football games and they ran to win. They had a lead in every game, but two in his career, I think in the fourth quarter, one was TCU and one was like a throwaway game in 2022. And so it's hard because to find his deficiencies, there might be 12 throws. But when you look at a guy like Bo Nix, who's played 61 games in college, when you look at deficiencies, you're going to have a huge catalog of them. So for JJ, that is the difficult part of scouting him, is good and bad. There's not a huge library of those throws to go through. So like anytime you scout a quarterback, you're looking for NFL level throws in their game. That's a hell of a lot easier to do when a guy's played 61 games as opposed to a guy who played 28, but, you know, threw the ball around 700 times in his career.
Well, that's the whole thing is a quarterback projection, right? I mean, it's really a projection with all players. But the quarterback projection is really difficult. Like, and that's why Josh Allen didn't go. Like some people, like right, Mel was thought he should go number one, and he didn't. When he go seventh to the Bills,
right?
But yeah, so I mean, JJ McCarthy is a big projection because we didn't see them open it up and have him go out there and, you know, carry the team. So as it stands, you still had him in this latest mock draft, and I kind of agree with you that this is probably the way it's going to go. With J.J. McCarthy goes fourth and it's the top four players in this draft end up being quarterbacks. Why did you land on that?
That's, you know, that's based on everything I'm hearing, is that it's going to be quarterback, 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 quarterback. Caleb's going one. We all know that, unless in the next month he has a change of heart, which I don't think is going to happen. Talking to some Bears personnel last week, they love Caleb and have had really good interactions with him.
You better take his physical.
That's it. Yeah. So I think Jaden goes two to Washington and Drake May goes three to New England or someone who trades up. And then I think there are enough teams that have that QB need that JJ's on top six. I would say the floor for he and Drake May is similar, is top six, you know? So I do think we'll see someone, maybe it's Minnesota, trade up. It's going to get interesting. I think that the wild card is where the guys go, not how early. They're going to go very early. the wild card is, what's the landing spot?
Okay. So with that being said, why did you, so you predicted Minnesota trades up to 3 and the Broncos trade up to 4. Why did you land on those two teams as possibly trading up rather than the Giants? Because we know the Giants also are looking heavily at quarterbacks.
Yeah, I think some of it is just the being aggressive. Minnesota already has the extra first round pick. They have 11, they have 23. You don't do that 5 weeks before the draft without a plan to go up from there. So I think I'm sure Minnesota's calling Washington at 2. They're calling New England at 3. They're calling Arizona at 4. They're probably calling the Chargers at 5 to say, what's it going to cost? And the trade might not happen until we're on the clock. Mm-hmm. But you're laying all the groundwork now. And I think Minnesota, we all feel comfortably saying they're going to be aggressive. For Denver, I look at Denver right now. Their starting quarterback is Jarrett Stidham. They've known for a long time that they were cutting Russell Wilson, and they did absolutely nothing to backfill the quarterback position. So like the Giants, you cover them better than anyone. You know this. They have a quarterback question, but they added Drew Lock. Every other team in the NFL who has that quarterback question, they put a guy in place to work behind him. The Raiders even. Okay, Aiden O'Connell didn't look great as a rookie. We bring in Gardner Minshew. We're backfilled at that position. Seattle, they backfilled the position. Pittsburgh gets Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. The Broncos are just sitting there twiddling their thumbs. That's what makes me think, knowing Sean Payton, knowing that their GM, George Payton, he's in a win-now situation. You know, this is an arranged marriage. So I think this is a team that will be aggressive. It's either that or you sit at 12 and you fall in love with Bo Nix or Michael Penix because you're not getting one of the top 4 quarterbacks at 12. So that was my mindset behind Denver going up. I think the Giants, I mean, very well could be aggressive. I'm probably reading into the comments, the ownership, and even Dable and Joe have made of, Daniel's our quarterback next year. And listen, I remember when the Arizona Cardinals put out a tweet saying Josh Rosen was their quarterback, and they traded his ass like a week later. So you can't always believe these things. But I think if I were to say right now, a month out, I'm probably buying into that they think that Daniel could be their guy for at least one more year. And if not, you have Drew Lock there. To me, if they hadn't signed Drew Lock, I would say, yeah, okay, be aggressive. Go up 2 or 3 spots and get your guy.
A really good point on Denver, how they're obviously getting a quarterback, and then we should really watch perhaps them a little bit more closely. And everybody puts all the attention on Minnesota, but that Denver should be sort of on that same level as the Vikings. You have the Giants with their second round pick taking Michael Penix. How did Michael Penix land in the second round in your draft? And even that's midway through the round at this point.
You know, the interesting thing about quarterbacks, and this is a little bit newer, but we see a rush of activity at the top of the round to get these guys, or are going to go in the top 4. And then we run into all the teams that are good at quarterback, or they've added guys at quarterback. It happened to Will Levis last year. He falls to 33. Penix could be that guy this year that slips down because of the lack of teams that need a quarterback. And so getting to 47, a little bit of a surprise, but that was actually true to team needs for him to be available there. And is he the best Brian Daboll fit? I don't know exactly. And I wrote that in the article. Like, I don't know what type of quarterback they want. Yeah. Well, you know, the mobility is not there. And that's the thing with Daboll. It's like, how much does that matter to you? You know, we can look at what he had at Alabama. Didn't always have the most mobile guys, but you get to Buffalo and you have Josh Allen. And so I think we all start to get in our minds of Dabes wants a runner. Well, no, I think he just went somewhere where they had one. And same for Kafka. You know, Kafka is in Kansas City where Mahomes is, he's a capable runner. It's definitely not a huge part of his game. So I really thought a lot about that of how, and I see so many people say like, oh, the Giants need a runner. Giants need a runner. I don't know if they do, because the guy they signed, Drew Lock, not a runner, when you could have gone after a more mobile type quarterback. So that's something that I think will be telling. What type of quarterback do they fall for? Penix as a thrower is the most impressive thrower in the draft. It's beautiful. I mean, he has great power. He's got really good accuracy. There's some misses there. I think it's a lot of lower body mechanical stuff that, again, he's working on it. He's cleaning it up. But just as a pure thrower, no one in this draft is prettier as a pure thrower than he is.
So because of how the mock drafts, work, you have to put him kind of at 47 because you're not sitting there making trades back and forth, left and right, especially in the second round. would you expect someone to maybe trade up into the back end of the first round rather than him getting to 47? Or you think there's a chance that he gets to the middle of the second round?
I think you would probably come up a little bit like Tennessee did last year to go get Levis. I think, you know, you might be trying to get into the back end of round one, but I know there were teams last year trying to get in the back end of round one and couldn't because those teams didn't want to trade out because the talent that was still on the board. That's going to be telling this year. If five quarterbacks go in the top 12, there's going to be some really good players on the board in the 20s and 30s to where those teams might not be willing to move back, especially all the way to 47.
Interesting. So here's the scenario I present you then. Let's say the quarterbacks do go in the top four, right? And the Giants are sitting there. They wanted one of the quarterbacks. Now, they have these, obviously, stud wide receivers there. Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, Rome Odunze. Very strong wide receiver draft, though. They only have six picks in this draft. If that were you, would you do, knowing the talent and the chef, would you trade back? Maybe try and get Brian Thomas or even a next level wide receiver a little bit later and collect picks to add in the second and third round? Or do you look at Harrison, Nabers, Odunze as they're so good that I would take one of these guys right here? I want that level guy, and the picks aren't as important for me later on.
I would say get the wide receiver at six instead of, you know, you could if you trade back in like 9 or 10, 11, maybe I would do that. But I wouldn't want to go back very far because after that, and I like Brian Thomas, I like Adonai Mitchell, there is a drop off. If you could put Malik Nabers in this offense, like, that is a game changer with all that speed, with Jalen Hyatt, with Wandale Robinson. That's going to be a problem for people. I don't know any secondaries off the top of my head that can just match up with that level of speed. Now, you know, there's some route running development that is continuing to happen with Hyatt and Robinson, but just as playmakers, that is a special trio that not many people can match up with because the speed, the run after catch ability. So I would go that route, or even adding Marvin Harrison Jr. in because of what he could be as a true X receiver, you know, a go up and get it guy. And I think this roster, honestly, is not far off. You just need better quarterback play. And, you know, you need a defensive coordinator and a head coach that aren't, you know, they're actually speaking to one another. Those little things are going to help a lot this year. So I think what they've done in free agency, you know, the trade to get Brian Burns, I would rather go all in at receiver than trade back and potentially miss out.
How close do you have Nabers and Harrison?
Very. I have Harrison as my number two overall player. I have Odunze and Nabers as my 4 and 5. I have Odunze and Nabers tied, but I put Odunze ahead of him. That's just personal preference. I like the play style of the 6'3", 215, a little bit of a bully. But Nabers, you know, it almost will come down to scheme. But I mean, Nabers plays with a jetpack on. It's wild how explosive he is.
The next Odell Beckham Jr. for the Giants. That's what it kind of reminds me of, the whole LSU thing, explosiveness, everything about that.
Yeah.
A little bit bigger, right? I believe.
More physical. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, we'll see. Appreciate you, Matt. You can go find his latest 7-round mock draft on ESPN.com, and you'll see him all over TV and the internet for the next, 6 weeks out or something? A little bit closer? No, 4 weeks out. You know better than I do. But we're close to the draft, and Matt Miller's got you taken care of. Thanks a lot, Matt. Do it again soon. On to the next one.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season.
Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
All right, we're going to wrap this up here real quick. Sorry about that. If parts of that Matt Miller interview were a little choppy, we tried to make it into the best we could. Matt was on his way to opening day Royals, an annual tradition for him. So, good day. We appreciate him trying to squeeze us in. And at times, I guess his service was a little porous, to say the least. But I think you get the point. And he crushed it, as always. There's some really interesting stuff in there. We're going to finish up here a little quick. Jordan on the Beat is where I tell you what it's like to cover the Giants, work for ESPN, or cover the NFL in general. And I'm real quick going to talk about the owners' meetings and Brian Daboll, because he had a breakfast right there. And the coaches sit down, have a breakfast, local reporters mostly. It's about a half hour, 30 minutes or so, you know, give or take. I think it ended up being 25 minutes where Brian Daboll spoke. A round table, you're all sitting down. People have plates of breakfast and stuff. And it's about 10 of us there, something like that, a few cameras. And we went over all the questions that we had for Brian Daboll because we hadn't spoke to him since the end of the season. Let me give you a recap of how Brian Daboll handled this. As far as his coaching staff and everything that went down with Wink Martindale and the season ending, because remember, we hadn't talked to him since that, he took a pass. He wasn't really going to talk about that. We asked him if he was going to be the play caller. Still working on that. Now, he gave a little hint. He said, you know, he's looking into it. You can put two and two together. If he's really looking into it and he's ripping out numbers of 20 coaches that do head coaches that play call, means he's probably going to do it. He's going through that process of thinking about it. Not good for Mike Kafka. You know, what did he come here for? He came here to the Giants to install his own, to have his offense and call plays. That's obviously not really happening. As far as we asked Brian Daboll about draft prospects, he also took a pass on that, said he wasn't going to talk about them. We asked him about roles for guys that they signed as free agents. I even asked about the secondary, Jalen Mills, how they were going to do that. We asked him about right tackle. He decided he was going to kind of take a pass on that as well. So obviously, as you can see, that wasn't the highlight of the week at the owners' meetings. The highlight of the week at the owners' meetings was talking to John Mara and Joe Shane. They were a little more informative and open and honest with us about, you know, what they're thinking and how this organization and team is moving forward. And as fans, I think you should like that. You want to know about your team, right? You're interested. You're listening to this podcast right now. You're engaged. You want information. So there's things that you could take from what they said, and gives us stuff to talk about. It gives Giants fans reason to be optimistic, I would think. You know, when you tell about Brian Burns and talk about that signing and, you know, finally solidifying the offensive line. These are things that fans want to hear, right? As John Mara said, the offensive line, it's been ridiculous that they haven't been able to put it together for so many years. And also, the highlight of the owners' meetings is on Monday night, there was a event. Everyone's invited. It's basically a party with all the owners, the general managers, the coaches, everybody and their families pretty much. All out there at this party. It's a non-work event, really. You're not going out there. You're not reporting. You're not trying to get information. It's a social setting, very relaxed, where you go and you commingle with everybody. We're talking higher-ups, executive level of the NFL. So always a good time. That's the owner meetings for the Giants and for me, in a nutshell, real quick right there. That's it for this episode of Breaking Big Blue. As always, like, subscribe, tell your friends. We're going to start getting deeper into the draft and answering your draft questions. We'll do a Giants After Dark, hopefully sometime next week or so, maybe the week after. Tell me what else you're looking for. I'll do my best. You know where to find me. Instagram, X, Facebook, email, TikTok, all social platforms, at Jordan Rodon or at Jordan Rodon on ESPN. You're listening to Breaking Big Blue. See you next time.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and The Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.